Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, everyone. Amazing songs to start with and to thank God and have this attitude of gratefulness for everything that God has done for us in our life. Church anniversary and baptism, what a lovely way to celebrate God's presence, God's love in our lives. And this morning we will learn from who other than our Lord Jesus Christ. His teachings are amazing. His parables are, you know, out of this world, of course, because he came from our Lord the Father. So this morning we will focus on a passage for all of us to understand God's call in our lives, to follow him and to enter the narrow gate. So my brother Stephen kindly agreed to read the scriptures for us this morning.
Good morning, all. Reading taken from three chapters in the Bible. The first one, Matthew 7, 13 to 14. And Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Next one is Luke 13, 22 to 30. "The narrow door," started. "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' He said to them, 'Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. The last reading is from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God bless the reading of his words.
Thank you, Stephen. Amazing. Wow, a lot in those passages for us this morning. And, you know, our Lord Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, but also our best friend. And, you know, when you have a best friend, they will tell you the truth, even when it's painful to hear, isn't it? Like, you know, there's a funny way when you go to a restaurant and you have chocolate all over your face. A true friend will tell you, "Go and clean. You have chocolate or you have ketchup on your face." Or you go out of the toilet and you have some toilet paper, you know, left somewhere. Or is it just me? Oh, sorry. And a true friend will tell you, make sure you tidy up yourself. However, I learned that, you know, with my wife, sometimes honesty, maybe you need to be careful. So I've learned that even if she's my best friend, whatever she asks me, I put some weight recently, my answer will always be, "No, my dear." Right, sorry, Ramon. You know, so you need to be careful, though, with best friends. But we see here, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us this vision, gives us this lesson about the two doors. And there is no other door. This is the truth we're learning this morning. There is no third option. There is no a shortcut. There are two doors that our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this morning. And these are two roads, two destinations. And baptism, as we will witness today for Matthew, is not just a beautiful testimony, but it is a journey, a new way of living and following our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's explain a little bit the text, and in particular the meaning of make every effort to enter, as Jesus was saying. Because we all know salvation is only by faith. Salvation is by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, faith is not an excuse for laziness. Or true faith is a faith that is transformative, that calls us to action, calls us to enter, calls us to do something about it. So it's not passive. And also make every effort. It means that we always keep our focus on Jesus, our commitment to join his way and to reject other lies about how I'm going to be saved, how I'm going to go in heaven. People are saying, you know, strive by your own merit, works, religious rituals and all that. So that means be careful to reject those lies that there is salvation in this world in another way apart from Jesus. And also, it requires intention. You know, we can't accidentally drift into the kingdom of God. We can't accidentally find ourselves saved. You see, it's an act of choice. It's our free will choosing the Lord and choosing God in this life. And we saw in the text that the danger is not just for the outsiders, not just for those outside, but also for those inside. For those who believe they have a religion and they're doing the right things, and yet the Lord Jesus is not in their heart. Because Jesus says, I don't know you, which is a very tough statement. But again, he is our true friend. So he wants us this morning to truly get to know him. Who is Jesus for you? And then this concept of two gates is so important. You know, in those times, people were aware of what Jesus meant because there are stories in the scripture, starting with Adam and Eve. When we say there is a gate, there is a door, that means there is something inside and there is something outside. And that is the door for, to go in and to go out, right? And in Adam and Eve's situation, as you remember, they were inside a lovely garden, the Garden of Eden. Once they sinned, once they separated themselves from God through their own choice, what happened? They were pushed outside. You see? They were pushed outside because of their sinful choice. They were outside the garden. And then carrying on in the scripture, we remember Noah's Ark, when God saw that in humanity, all their thoughts were evil all day, all the time. So there was a flood, we read. And in the ark, as you remember, there was Noah and his family. They were inside the ark, which means safety. Outside the ark, it was destruction. So we see this principle in and out. And then carry on. Remember, in Egypt, at the Passover, the Israelites were told to sacrifice a lamb, an innocent lamb, pointing out towards Jesus. And that blood of the lamb was painted on the doors of their houses. And God said, stay inside the house. Anyone who goes out is in danger of death. You see again this picture. Inside the house is safety. Outside the house is death. But the good news is, in the scripture, is that our Lord Jesus Christ invites everyone to come. That is the amazing news for us this morning. Remember this parable of the great banquet where a king or a rich man, which is Jesus in this instance, invites everyone to his table. But people started to make excuses. One said, oh, I bought a field, I have a new oxen, I just got married. So then he sent out and said, bring the poor, bring the lame, bring the crippled, bring people, outcasts, bring the lame, bring everyone from the city. And they said, there is still room. And they sent them again, go to the streets, go to the roads, bring everyone in that are willing to come. So we see people are finding excuses. What would be some of the modern excuses nowadays for people not to follow Jesus? Maybe they'll say, well, I just bought a new house. I just need to fix it. I don't have enough time. Or maybe I've got a new job. My career is so important at the moment. Maybe later I'll think about God. Or maybe I'm just, you know, I just started a new relationship. I really need to focus on this relationship. I don't have time for something else. Or maybe people are saying, I've got kids. I have bills. It's a stressful life. Maybe later when I'm older and I've just settled down a little bit. We see this pattern. Or maybe people are saying, do you know what? I have nothing against it, but it's not for me. I'd rather do my own things and, you know, think later. I don't have time to think right now. So you see, in the Bible, there is a sense of urgency of coming to faith. Because again, remember, our Lord Jesus is our true friend. And a true friend will tell you when it's a dangerous situation in your life. They'll say, man, take action. I don't see this good in your life. And that's exactly what the scripture does when it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7-8, it says, so as the Holy Spirit says today, we see today because tomorrow, let's be honest, is not guaranteed. And I'm not trying to be scary or to worry people, but it is a reality. It says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. So it's this sense of urgency. Come today to the Lord. And again, this invitation is for everyone. The broken and the king are invited. The refugees and the CEOs and the managers are invited. The immigrant and the immigrant officer are invited. The addicted and the doctor are invited. The overlooked, the ones that are feel lonely, as well as the ones that are feel loved and cared. We see there is no way, nowhere else in this world where you find this amazing love of Jesus Christ inviting us all to come in and taste how good he is for us. So then, together, we can look at some real-life examples to decide if these real-life examples, and I'm sure you have more, are they examples of someone following the narrow gate or the wide gate? And children as well, you can participate in this one, just if you want to help us out. So let's look at the first example. A student who refuses to cheat in exams, even though everyone else does. Is this an example of a narrow gate or wide gate? Come on, let me hear you. Narrow. Narrow, everyone? Good. Narrow gate. A child forgives someone who told a lie about them. Narrow or wide? Narrow. Yes, narrow. Being mean to others just to look cool? Wide. Thank you. This is a wide gate. And then saying, I don't need God. I'll just do life my own way. Is this narrow or wide? Wide. Thank you. Telling the truth even when it's hard is narrow. Being kind to someone who others laugh at? Narrow. Thank you. Sharing what you have? Narrow, as we did yesterday. Thank you all for sharing. Choosing to pray and trust God, even if friends don't. Narrow. A married couple who remain faithful to each other. Narrow. A worker who does not compromise their faith for promotion. They remain with integrity rather than corruption. That is a narrow way. So we see we are surrounded by these examples all our life. Now let's focus on some of the characteristics of the wide gate. And we already explored some of those, but let's go in a bit more detail. The wide gate is the way of the world. It's broad and crowded. It's appealing because it asks very little of us. You don't need to do anything. You don't care about anything. Do whatever you want. Live however you like. It follows the crowd. You know, money and possession says it will satisfy your soul. Being selfish, follow your heart, do whatever makes you happy. Immorality comes in. Compromise, taking the shortcuts, normalizing what God calls sin. And that's what the wide gate does, saying it's normal when God says, no, it's not normal. And also, it brings religious complacency, which means I'm doing this for the church. I'm going Sunday to the church. That is enough. you know, I'm giving to God, I'm doing this ritual, I'm okay. But actually, this wide gate, where it leads us to, and we've seen this in people's lives over and over again, it leads to disappointment. It leads to addiction, to suffering, to poor health even. People are trying to fill their life with unhealthy things. It leads away from God, a superficial life, and never satisfied. Always looking for the next adventure. It leads to poverty even. How many people are just spending their wealth on games and other things? Unhappiness, emptiness, refusing God's blessing, refusing God's invitation to the table, and also regret. Regret. I've heard many, many people in their life say, oh, I regret I did this so much. But I've never heard someone who got baptized saying that they regretted later in life. We're never going to hear someone that really loves God and comes to faith that they regretted that. So we see in Matthew chapter 16, our Lord Jesus says this principle, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What does that mean? It means that when we prioritize selfishness and the pleasures of this world, when we prioritize worldly success, personal ambition, above all else, we're losing our life. We're losing our purpose. We're losing our meaningful life that Jesus promised us. People may achieve some gains, but miss on the deeper meaning of life. Why are we here for? Where are we going? So these deep questions that people can miss. And let's look then at the narrow gate. What is the difference between the narrow gate and the wide gate? Well, the narrow gate is the way of Jesus. The narrow gate is to love God, love yourself, and love others. We need to be kind to ourselves as well to be able to love others in our lives. It's a way of being humble, and that way is often unnoticed. People don't care. And it's countercultural. You know, few find it because people are going with the flood. And requires surrender and trust. It calls us to deny ourselves and to follow Christ. It's a life of obedience. It's choosing God's way, trusting God. It's a path of truth, purity, and integrity. It's guided by the Holy Spirit. We can't do any of this alone. It's the Holy Spirit who comes in our lives to help. It's a heart changed by grace, knowing what God did for you and for me, and leads to real freedom and peace, as I've discussed with someone at the table, no naming. But there are things in our lives where Jesus can step in and help us to free ourselves for some things that are taking control. There is compassion and it's righteousness. It's true relationship with God, not just religion, not just ritual. And it's a life of eternal purpose and joy. And that narrow path, you know, it may seem hard at the beginning, but then it becomes easier the more we love God. And where it leads us to? Joy and fulfillment. Eternal life with God. Peace, true peace in this troubled world. You will find peace in knowing who you are in Christ and what is your purpose. It's contentment and purpose. It's freedom from sin and guilt. It's strength through trials. Inner transformation, living under God's blessing, it's true love, community, and hope, as we see here at Addlestone Baptist Church. For 197 years, it's community, it's love, and it's hope. And then, it's everlasting reward in heaven. And these are not just empty words. This is the truth that comes from our best friend, Jesus Christ, okay? He tells us the truth of what is to come. And things that cannot be described, this will be for us in heaven. You see, the narrow gate is actually a metaphor for our Lord Jesus Christ. The narrow gate is Jesus. And you know, is the only way that people can be saved. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what he said, not me. And you know, the narrow gate is not something scary. It is a door of love. And just to point out, the wide gate we mentioned before, that wasn't made by God, that wasn't created by God. The wide gate was created by people by choosing their own way instead of God's way. So I'll just say that again. The wide gate was not created by God. The wide gate was created by people following their own desires. But the narrow gate was created by God, was created by Jesus to provide us a way, a bridge into our Heavenly Father, to find peace, to make peace with God, and find forgiveness. We see, remember, whoever loses their life for me, says our Lord Jesus, will find it. This means surrender. Let's surrender our selfish ambitions. Let's surrender the things that are holding us back, because this is a one-time opportunity. The narrow gate means joy, means salvation. And the narrow gate, because it's narrow, it means the salvation is one by one. I'm sorry to say, we will not be saved because we are part of Allison Baptist Church even, or whatever church we're coming from. We're not saved because we are British citizens or US citizens or Romanian citizens or whatever we may be. The narrow gate is one by one, not for groups of people, you see? And remember that individual that Stephen read, he was wondering, you know, are there many going into heaven? And it's not our business. Jesus didn't answer that question. He said, don't worry about others. Focus on yourself, right? Focus on yourself, because this is in our human nature. We look at people around and we judge them. Oh, they've done this, they're doing that. But actually, Jesus said, no, worry about you. Make sure you are going through the narrow gate. Make sure you are welcoming me in your heart. So that is so important, to make sure I am going through the narrow gate, one by one. Amen? Amen. So in conclusions for this morning, our Lord Jesus is presenting us not with just lifestyle choices, but it is a death or life decision this morning. And this is all over the scriptures. God always invited people to choose him, to choose his love. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. We see, this is God's calling for us for thousands and thousands of years in Deuteronomy. And in this place, Adelson Baptist Church, we are celebrating 197 years since these doors opened for the community, for the world. This is the narrow gate where God is inviting people in to meet not just us lovely people, as we are, but to meet with our Lord Jesus Christ. These narrow gates are open for 197 years. And there were many people coming in here, finding the narrow gate, finding our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's carry on, keeping these doors wide open for people to come in, to feel welcome, to feel loved. And baptism this morning, as Matthew will testify, it's another open door. It's another narrow door. There's only one person being baptized, you see? It is a narrow door. But Matthew, God bless you, he will testify this morning of his faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because this call that God placed in our lives, it says in John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, again, see, he's our best friend, very truly, not just truth, very truly, Jesus tells us this morning, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Wow, this is so powerful. After all we heard this morning, Jesus is the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is why Jesus came, to be our gate, to be our peace between us and God, to give us forgiveness. And you see, this gate is Jesus himself. It is open, it is free. And listen very carefully this morning. Jesus loves you more than anyone will ever love you. Because you know why? He gave his life for this gate to be open. He gave his life on the cross for the narrow gate to be open for you. You know, the wide gate looks fun, but we've seen where it leads to. The narrow gate looks harder at the beginning, but once you love God, when you love someone so much, it's easier to journey with them in life. And it's the same with Jesus. When you love him, it will be easier for you to journey with him. As Stephen read earlier, "My yoke is easy," Jesus said. You know, all of you who are burdened, come and take my yoke. Come, give me your struggles. Give me your sin. Give me everything you're struggling with. It's calling you this morning. Which gate are you willing to walk through? Which gate this morning are you choosing? Will we follow the crowd or will we follow Jesus? You know, it's only Jesus that can forgive sins. No one else, no other prophet said to anyone, "Your sins are forgiven." Only Jesus could do that. He's the only one who can satisfy your emptiness in your life. Well, wherever you may be looking for, it has the shape of Jesus in your heart. So he's calling you this morning. And you don't need to wait and fix yourself. The invitation is now, as you are. Come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened. So let us pray that we all this morning will choose to enter the narrow gate. We'll choose Jesus Christ from everything that is around us. Because he is the only one who can write your name in the book of the Lamb in heaven. And if we are here and we know Jesus for a while, but somewhere maybe down the line, we started to follow the crowd in a way or another. Maybe we left Jesus behind for a while. You know, the good news is that Jesus hasn't moved. He's waiting for you to come back as well. He hasn't moved. He's still on the cross. And we can all return, give our lives again, rededicate ourselves to him. His arms are still open for you and for me this morning. So if you want to come again, enter the narrow door. This is also a call for you and for all of us this morning. So if you want, you can say this prayer with me. And we can all open our hearts and minds to welcome Jesus in our hearts. Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I want to open my heart to you. Forgive me, cleanse me. And I just want to welcome you and start walking through the narrow gate. Jesus, I'm coming back to you. Forgive me for the times I've drifted, and I try to live life my way. Today, I lay it all down to your cross again. Renew my heart. Restore my passion and help me to walk closely with you. I just want to thank you, Jesus, for never ever giving up on me. I am yours forever, and I want to walk the narrow path. So help us, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I have a great pleasure to invite Matej to give us his testimony, just how he decided to be baptized today. And it will be amazing to hear his story. Yes, let's encourage him.
Hello, everyone. I wrote my testimony down, so because of my emotions, and as you all know, you all went through this. So I'm gonna. For those who don't know me, I'm Matthew, and for those who do know me from the LED group and from Sunday mornings, which is a blessing for me. I first came in this church through a friend of mine, Daniel, who was baptized as well last year, and who then introduced me to Florin. which was a blessing for me because he made me understand my faith more deeply. We had useful conversations, and I truly thank God first for opening my heart to His grace and His forgiveness. And first of all, to help me realize that I cannot rely on myself because I'm not perfect and I will never be. Only Jesus was and only Jesus is. I stand today in front of you to take the most important step of my life, I believe, to publicly declare my decision to follow God with all my heart. I want to be baptized in the name of the one who died on the cross and got resurrected on the third day. And like Florian said, no one in history did that, only him. For too long, I neglected my soul. I took God's grace for granted. And a lot of times turning my back on him. Eventually, he helped me, came to see how empty and miserable I was and lost without him. So I kind of forced myself to start reading the Bible, to start praying, even though I was fighting with my sinful nature. And as I said, no matter how hard I try on my own, I will always fail without him. Only he can save me. At the right time, God in his mercy spoke to me. He showed me how much I need him, and not because of what I do, not because of what I will do, but because of who he is. I prayed and even asked God for a sign of his love, and we don't need miracles for us to see. His greatest miracle already happened. We just have to believe. But I felt like I needed a sign from him, anything. I just tried for myself. And one night while I was praying outside under the stars, and I was trying to feel his presence and to be more close to him, I asked God for a sign, for him to reassure me that he is there near me, or that at least I know what I'm doing and I know which way I'm going. And right there and then, when I prayed for that sign on the sky, I just saw a falling star, and it was the most beautiful thing of my life. It was like not just any star, it was like a comet. And it was right there and then, when the exact moment I prayed and I told him I need a sign to reassure me. That was a turning point for me. In my heart, I knew nothing in this world matters more to me than choosing to follow him. And I just felt in that moment that God told me, I've shown you my love, I've shown you the sign, now it's your turn to make your choice and to follow me. So that's what I did. Okay. So today, through baptism, I want to testify that I belong to Jesus, and I will forever do, that I am forgiven for my sins through his sacrifice on the cross, and I will follow him for all my days of my life. I also want to thank this church as well for welcoming me, for praying for me, and I'm grateful for all your help. I want to end with a Bible verse, which really helped me a lot. That it goes like this. It's from 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." May God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Matej. God bless you.